Good morning again. You know, the pastor asked me to preach a couple weeks ago. Did he tell y'all last week where he was going to be? I was on vacation, getting a little sun. Does it show? All right, come on now. You were dancing on the back of the pews a minute ago. All right, now the important time comes. Okay, no, before he's going to a conference, but he was here for the first service. I'm sure some of you guys probably saw him around this morning. But I had mentioned in the first service to everyone how he'd asked me to preach, and I was a little nervous because he was here, and, you know, I don't think, most of the time the cat's gone, so the little mouse plays, you know. But he was here today, and when I sat down to him, I mean, you've got to understand that our pastor is so supportive of our staff. And so when I sat down next to him, he leaned into me and he said, "Listen, don't worry about me being here. I'll just be asleep." So, yeah. Thank you, Pastor. But no, this morning I'm really excited about this. You know, I've shared in the past when I have the opportunity, it's, you know, I don't have to go through a series, or it's really fun just to be able to share what's on my heart. Or maybe, you know, this is kind of a combination of some things that I've discussed with some of you and where some of you guys are, and also definitely myself. But this morning we're going to look at defining moments, and we're going to look at a passage in Genesis. But, you know, we really have to see today that we all face, all of us face defining moment decisions, okay? Do I need to define kind of what a defining moment looks like? Does everybody get it? Okay, interaction thing. Yes, everybody gets it. Defining moment. A very important decision in your life that, in all honesty, at times could mean life or death. Really good. A defining moment decision. All of us have them, okay? They come really, some of us, at sometimes in our life, they really can come in a rapid fire kind of way. You know, some decisions that we make are obviously bold, significant decisions, like who you're going to marry, or kids, or young people, I should say, and even adults, as we were getting ready to go to school, what college to choose, where to go, or what career path to take. So those are kind of some bold, really tough decisions that we have to make in our lives. But, you know, we often make choices without recognizing them as defining moment decisions. Because every single day we make decisions, okay? As you woke up this morning, you decided what you were going to wear. You decided how you were going to wear your hair. And I'll just go out there and say some of you didn't make the right choice. And you know, and you choose what to eat. You choose what to drink. Okay, so we all make decisions. Everybody get it? Everybody makes decisions in life. You know, our culture really, if you look at it, we really prefer a wide range of choices for everything that we have. Everything that we have. You know, if you go take a string at the, you know, right here at the pulpit and go about 2 or 3 miles out and draw a big circle, you could probably find about a half dozen or more burger restaurants, you know. And so we like, and that's a good thing, okay. But we all make choices. We've got, we want a wide variety of things to choose from. You know, we love having options, but in all honesty, and this is kind of where we're going today, keeping up with all the decisions can be overwhelming for us. Sometimes enough is enough. Amen? I mean, it's tough sometimes when you have a lot of decisions to make, small decisions and big decisions. And sometimes those small decisions, if they're not made correctly, they kind of grow into bigger decisions that could be defining moment decisions in our life. Let me tell you, just real quickly, share a defining moment in my life and my wife's life was, in all honesty, when we decided to have children. And for some of you out there, it was a deciding or a defining moment in your life when you decided to have children. You know, I'm thinking, and what a blessing it is. Listen, I've always said this, and I just, you know, I don't know if it really works in the hearts of people when they see it, but if you've seen your child being born, man, how could you not believe in God when you see a child being born. Women, you have to go through it. Look, okay? We're on the other end, you know. But, okay, so think about that. That is huge. That was a defining moment for me. That was a defining moment for me. The reason was because I'm thinking, you know, I'm watching my children be born, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm a dad, you know. But not only am I dad, and not only did I become a father those days, I became the father of Hannah, and I became the father of Hallie, okay? God entrusted me with those two children, just like parents, he's trusted you with the children that you have. Those are defining moments, amen? Can I get a little help in here, amen? I mean, those are defining moments. So this morning, we're gonna look at an Old Testament character, a man with really, this guy had an impressive resume. And our man this morning is Lot. Okay, Lot was a nephew of Abraham, and everybody knows of Abraham. He's a man remembered throughout the Bible for his amazing faith. You know, Abraham was considered an extreme. I kind of set this passage up. If you'd like, go ahead and turn your Bibles into Genesis chapter 13 if you haven't already made it. But Abraham was considered extremely wealthy in his time. He had flocks and he had herds and he had servants by the hundreds, okay? And Lot's father died while Lot was still a young man, okay? And from that time forward, his Uncle Abraham, okay, kind of looked after him. And, you know, really, it seems like when we read this passage that Abraham probably taught Lot some of his business skills too, because Lot accumulated a fortune of his own, okay? And there came a day when God spoke to Abraham, get him setting this passage up, and told Abraham to move. And Abraham, being the man of faith that he was, he packed his bags and started out, okay? He took all his wealth and his family and even took little Lot along with him. Okay, his nephew Lot. And think about this as we move forward with this story. It was kind of like two big corporations moving. Okay, we had Abraham who was wealthy, had plenty of flock and herd and servants, and Lot was kind of the same. So think about it and fast forward to today and think about two corporations like, say, Pepsi and Coca-Cola. Okay, think about if they were moving together. Okay, think about, and I'll be honest. The first service didn't necessarily get this. Apple and Samsung, okay? I'm joking. They did fine. I had to kind of explain it to them and pull out the old. But think about that. So two big, Frito-Lay and Golden Flake, okay? Or Tom's. I love Tom's. I love Tom's chips. Anybody like Tom's chips? I love their, hey, amen. I love their cornflakes. I love Tom's cornflakes. They're the bomb and some chili. Man, a little cheese and sour cream. But anyway, so I'm getting hungry, close to noon. But anyway, two corporations, okay, big corporations. And what happens when two big corporations kind of, when they're moving together naturally in a situation like that, there's going to be some conflict. You can expect something to happen, okay? And as we read this scripture, let me note that the conflict necessarily wasn't between Abraham and Lot as much as it was, for the lack of a better term, between Abraham's employees and Lot's employees, okay? So let me pray, and then we're gonna read the word. Lord, we love you. God, thank you for this day. And Father, I thank you for the defining moments in my life. God, we all make them. Everyone sitting here makes decisions every day. Some make tougher decisions than others, but we're all going to have to face the tough ones at some point. God, I pray that we will allow your word to come alive to us. Lord, show us through the story of Abraham and Lot the importance of trusting in you and going where you lead, God, when it comes to big time decisions in our lives. Lord, I lift this passage up to you. Bless your word now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, here we go. Genesis 13. Then Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev, he and his wife and all he had, and Lot with him. Abram was rich, was very rich in livestock, silver and gold. He went by stages from the Negev to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai, where his tent had formerly been, to the site where he had built the altar. And Abram worshipped the Lord there. And now Lot, who was traveling with Abram, also had flocks, herds, and tents. But the land was unable to support them as long as they stayed together, for they had so many possessions that they could not stay together. And there was quarreling between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. At that time, the Canaanites and the Perizzites were living in the land. Then Abram said to Lot, "Please, let's not have quarreling between you and me, or between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, since we are relatives. Isn't the whole land before you? Separate from me. If you go to the left, I will go to the right. If you go to the right, I will go to the left." Lot looked out and saw that the entire Jordan Valley, as far as Zoar, was well watered everywhere, like the Lord's garden in the land of Egypt. This was before God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose the entire Jordan Valley for himself. Then Lot journeyed eastward, and they separated from each other. Abram lived in the land of Canaan, but lived in the cities of the valley and set up his tent near Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were evil, sinning greatly against the Lord. After Lot had separated from him, the Lord said to Abram, "Look from the place where you are. Look north and south and east and west, for I will give you and your offspring forever all the land that you see. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if one could count the dust of the earth, then your offspring could be counted. Get up and walk from one end of the land to the other, for I will give it to you." So Abram moved his tent and went to live beside the oaks of Mamre in Hebron, where he built an altar to the Lord. Okay, so we see this passage. We see in this passage where Abraham was really facing a defining moment decision. Okay, he had to decide how to deal with the conflict between his employees and Lot's employees. Okay, basically is what it boils down to. Okay, and what did he do? He made the choice to put family and peace above personal gain. He suggested that he and Lot go their separate ways. Okay? You know, even though Abraham had the most seniority, he gave first choice of the grazing ground to Lot. All right? And on the other hand, we see Lot didn't recognize that he was deciding about a defining moment in his life. He didn't. He didn't realize his choice would affect the rest of his life. And it really did. And for the sake of time, and it's really, you know, kind of a different direction in this sermon as I read through it. I want to challenge you with this either tonight or this afternoon or tonight or sometime tomorrow or maybe this week. Dig into Genesis 19, okay? And I want you to read that. I want you to see what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah and how Lot was involved with that. And that'll kind of take you to another level of you know, maybe the consequences that Lot had to pay for the decision that he made in this passage, okay? So Genesis 19, go check that out. It's kind of like Paul Harvey says, the rest of the story, okay? All right, that probably would have worked better in the first service. All right, okay, so nowhere does Lot say, you know, "Uncle Abe, come here, give me some advice," you know? He really didn't. What do you think would be best, the best way to divide the land? Lot didn't do that. He didn't seek Abe's counsel on that. Abraham. He didn't seek Abraham's counsel on that, okay? Instead, he thought only of himself and what was best for his family, okay? Selfish. Listen, that leads me, again, this morning, I didn't preface everything this morning. We're not going to have like a bulleted 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 point. We're going to go with like 10 points today, okay? No, not actually. I'm not going to do any points. This is going to be kind of unconventional today, all right? As I'm telling this story, I really want to ask a question here in a few minutes. And I want that question to resonate with us this morning. And I want you to carry that question with you this week, okay? Deal? Instead of like a 9 or 10 or 12 point sermon, just one question this morning, okay? I should have told you that on the front end, but I did not. Okay, so one challenge for me today, though, is think about this. When we make decisions in our life, and we saw Abraham, man of faith, thinking about his family and peace, not personal gain. And on the other hand, you have Lot in this story that was doing nothing but really thinking about personal gain. Don't get me wrong now. If you know anything about Lot, Lot was a righteous man. Okay? He just didn't make very good decisions. All right? So think about this. Selfish decisions usually lead to destruction. And we kind of see that in 19 with Lot. Okay? Chapter 19 in Genesis. But selfless decisions usually lead to life. And think about that in your own life this morning. Think about some decisions that you made where you really put yourself on a shelf and you made decisions for the betterment of the team or the family, you know. Probably went well. But sometimes when we make those selfish decisions and things circle around us, you ever heard the phrase, the world revolves around you? You know, when you make kind of the world revolves around me sort of decisions, you're probably going to pay the price somewhere down the line for that decision. You know, Lot thought only of Lot, and as a result, honestly, he messed up. Lot messed up. He made a selfish decision, and he paid for it with his family. And we see in the scriptures how Lot pitched his tent near Sodom, okay? The cities in the plain, Sodom and Gomorrah, they were morally depraved cities, okay? And Lot should have had sense enough to stay away from them, but he really chose foolishly. And we see in verse 12 here, we see in verse 12 how it says that he pitched his tent near Sodom, okay? So now Lot didn't move right into Sodom, so... You know, imagine in your mind's eye this morning, we have Lot, okay, and he's moving over here. But what he did was, instead of moving right into Sodom, okay, say this is Sodom. He didn't move right into it. You know, he pitched his tent right here outside of it, right outside of it. Think about that in our lives. Think about that in our lives, okay? He wasn't right in it, but he didn't turn his back on it either. Yeah, you have Sodom, you know, so he pitched his tent and he's kind of looking at everything happen. It's kind of like in our lives. You know, think of the sin that we see in the world and the people that we may see living in sin. And ask yourself this question, and this is the question that I hope will resonate in your heart. Where is your tent pitched? Where do you have your tent pitched? What is it pitched towards? Dr. Kurt warned me to say those words very slowly this morning. So, what is your tent pitched toward? What's it pitched toward? And you may say to yourself, I would not go there. I wouldn't do that. You know, but maybe you're sitting on the outskirts kind of watching it. You know, once you start, we need to understand this morning, once we start moving towards sin in our lives, we're going to eventually end up within its city limits. Amen? Just think about that. There's Sodom and Gomorrah and everything's going on that's crazy and depraved and just total debauchery. You know, and he kind of pitched his tent, looking at it, facing towards it. What are some things in our own lives this morning? What are some things that you have going on in your own life? And I want you to think, I could list 1,000 things, but you could probably think quicker than I can say them. What are some things in your life where you're right there, man? You're right there at the edge, just ready to jump off. You're being tempted by something. We all are. We all are. Being tempted by something this morning. Got that Sodom in front of us, man, and our tent is pitched right outside the gates. What is it in your life? What do you have? What decision are you about to make that could cost you a ton? What decision? Think about that. Whatever it is in your life, I want to give you one or two steps here, okay? Because we all have it. Look, everybody in agreement that we all make decisions on a daily basis. Every single one of us. Some are small decisions, some are a little bit bigger decisions. But every single one of them are going to add on top of the other and become a defining moment. If you don't make a big-time defining moment decision anyway. Here's the first rule of making a defining moment decision. We need to downplay the upside while playing up the downside. Have you ever heard about that? So in other words, listen, think about downplaying the upside. So don't think so much about when you make that decision, the good things that are going to happen. On the flip side, think about the downside of that decision. Okay? Think about what's going to happen if you make that decision and that decision goes wrong, the downside. Think about what price you're going to have to pay with your family or your friends or maybe financially or, you know, maybe even with your health if you make that decision. So when you make defining moment decisions, listen, but let the first rule be downplay the upside and playing up the downside, okay? Think about everything you do and project yourself in the future, all right? Ask yourself before you make one of those defining moment decisions, will I be glad that I did this when I'm 80 years old? Think about that. A lot of decisions we make now will affect us years down the road, okay? Or does this really matter? Does this really matter, what decision I make? Does it really matter when it comes to eternal significance? Because listen, it's something that I'm learning over time in my walk with Christ that there's things in our lives that we really can do without. Because ultimately, when we live life, we should be living for eternal things, not things of the world. Look, they're only going to last for a small time. Now, I'm not saying don't have a boat and don't have a nice home, don't wear some nice shoes, don't have nice clothes. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, where are you putting the eggs at? What basket are you putting them in? Eternal significance, or for you to be happy right now? Think about that. Are you guys with me? I feel like you were the ones that told me I'm going to fall asleep. Look at verse 18. So Abram moved his tent and went to live beside the oaks of Mamre in Hebron, where he built an altar to the Lord. Abraham made a choice. How do we make choices? Listen, none of us want to make bad choices like Lot did, okay? Instead, what we want, we want to be, hopefully everybody in here wants to be, a person like Abraham, okay? That has the faith that Abraham has. People who God blesses. Do you realize, do you understand that God still blesses faithful people? Thank you. One of us believe it. Because honestly, listen, I'm going to get real for a second. Think about this. If we believe that God blesses faithful people, we would live a totally different lifestyle. Because being faithful means being sold out. Being faithful means taking steps towards God every single day of our lives and trusting Him with everything that we have, where we go, what we say, what we do. And I wonder, do we really live faithful lives? Do we really live faithful lives? Do we live every single minute of every single day with faith? Look, I'm not saying that I do. I put my pants on one leg at a time like you do. I'm not perfect either. But as a church, and I hope that I've got a little change in my pocket this morning with some of us. Listen, as a church, do we really live lifestyles of faithful, godly people? Do we? God wants to use our church. And I feel like we're at the threshold. I really do. As an Ed and Outreach guy, I think we're there. But we've got some work left. And I believe it boils down to us being faithful. Every single one of us. I am on your team. You are on my team. I am no better than you are. But we have some defining moment decisions to make. Not just in our personal lives. Not just at work. But listen, if you're a Christian, this is your family too. And we have some tough decisions to make. Defining moment decisions. Are you in the game? Are you going to live a faithful life? Are you going to go when God tells you to go and witness to whoever God tells you to witness to? Are you going to give like He wants you to give? Not just of your time and your talents, but your money, honestly. And if you're not in a position to do that, shame on you. You should be. Because we're to be good stewards of everything in our lives. Everything. We're going to launch something at the first of the year that's going to help us. I believe God's on the threshold of doing something big. Help me, big. And I hope that you want to be a part of it. I hope that you want to be a faithful servant. You know, one of the outstanding characteristics of Abraham's life was that every time he had to make a big decision or he had something significant, some sort of significant event in his life, he built an altar. And an altar in the Bible symbolized a close personal connection with God. Okay? It commemorated notable encounters with Him. It was basically a physical expression of a person's faith. And we have that same opportunity today with God. We have that same opportunity as they did in biblical times, building altars to connect with the Lord. We have the same opportunity today to connect, okay, to have that personal connection with the Lord. You know, we can open our hearts and submit to God like Abraham did. And I know, listen, when I get fired up, and you know I love you, I do. But some of us are there. No, we are. Some of us are at that point where we have some defining moment decisions to make. And man, you've got to go. And you got to be strong. And you got to make the right choice. When we open our hearts and submit to God like Abraham did, makes everything a little clearer. But you got to be open. Not just for the good. You got to be able to handle the tough times too. And know that He's working through those as well. Listen, the way that we can do that is by praying. By praying before, during, and after. Okay? And after defining moment decisions. All right? Before, during, and after. And when we pray, we're demonstrating our faith in God, a God who has a plan for us, for each and every one of us, and who is worthy of being followed. God is worthy of being followed. But some of us don't even know that because we don't take the time of day to spend time with Him in prayer. It's one of the easiest things that you can do. Folks, listen, church, you can pray anywhere. And when I say anywhere, I mean anywhere. People don't even know you're doing it. You know? Prayer is easy. One of the simplest things of biblical principles that we can do. But yet some of us don't even do it. Listen, I want to read you an illustration I want to read you a little something to illustrate this point. The point that when we pray, we're demonstrating our faith in God, who has a plan for us, and who is worthy of being followed. There was an organization in Montana that offered a bounty of $5,000 for every wolf that was captured alive. And there was two hunters, and I'll just name them Sam and Jed, okay? Two hunters named Sam and Jed who decided to head for the hills and make some money capturing wolves. And day and night, they scoured the mountains and forests searching for this valuable prey. You know, and some of you that are hunters, if you go for like 2 or 3 days at a time and you're really not doing any good, probably not even raising your rifle off your leg or whatever. I'm not a hunter, so I hope that didn't offend anyone. Do you rest your gun on your leg? Oh, no hunters in here? Anyway. So exhausted after 3 days of hunting without any success, they both fell asleep. And during the night, Sam suddenly woke up to find that he and Jed were surrounded by about a pack of 50 wolves. You know, at night when wolves' eyes are open, they're like flaming red. So they woke up to 50 wolves with flaming red eyes and bared teeth, snarling at the hunters and preparing to pounce on them. Sam kind of woke up and he nudged Jed and he said, "Hey, wake up! We're going to be rich!" Note to self. So the perspective on that, though, listen, here's a perspective from that illustration. Real opportunity only comes in our life when we have a defining moment with God. So I don't believe that it's possible to make good final defining moment decisions in our life without the Lord. Prayer, dig into His Word, okay? We also need to build around ourselves a board of personal directors, or what I always used to tell young people was a cocoon of godly people in our lives, okay? There's wisdom in a number of counselors and people who love us and We need people in our lives who love us and will speak truth into our lives. Sometimes truth isn't always easy hearing. But when you have somebody that you love and that you trust and that you know will give you honest answers and shoot you straight, that's a good thing to have in your life, okay? It's called accountability. You know, these counselors will be able to say, you're not thinking about this issue clearly, or you know, if you move in this direction, you're heading for disaster. Or maybe they'll say something like, please stop and think about this, okay, and pray. Because listen, we should be praying about every single thing in our lives. And when I say every single thing, I mean every single thing. Why wouldn't you? Again, it's the easiest thing as far as biblical principles and getting to know the Lord and being connected with Him that we can do. It's prayer. You know, if we pull away from people who love us, we're going to make bad decisions, kind of like Lot did. Of course, they kind of called apart, but Lot didn't seek Abraham's counsel at all. Lot was a selfish man at that time. You know, God, he was a righteous man. He was a great man. He just made bad decisions, okay? Sometimes we need the check and balance of godly, Christ-centered friends in our life so we will make the right decisions. Isn't it awesome, though, to have people that you know will pray for you? That's a great feeling to know. If you care anything about your relationship with Jesus Christ, knowing somebody is praying for you makes you feel amazing. It really does. It's a good feeling to know that somebody's praying for you. So you got to have those kind of people in your life that will hold you accountable, okay? You need that check and balance of godly, Christ-centered friends. You know, decisions come at us rapidly. And trying to discern which decisions in our lives are really important kind of overwhelm us. And like I said, decisions that we make will stack up on top of each other. And sometimes little ones can turn into big defining moment decisions. Listen, I'm going to put this extremely lightly, but this is how I really feel about this. And I believe it's biblical. You know, we either pray about what necktie to wear or we ignore God altogether. Praying about the little things are going to lead to praying about the big things. Be people of prayer. But there is good news. Listen, we don't have to flounder around in the fog. The Bible supplies clarity, I believe, about God's thinking on moral issues, on spiritual issues, on some physical issues, okay? The Bible supplies clarity about God's thinking concerning the things that we go with, that we go through in life. So we've got to dig into the Word as well, okay? We faithfully keep communication lines open and working at living to honor God, our defining moment decisions will be made according to God's Word and directed by His Spirit working in our lives. Let me read that one more time. We faithfully keep communication lines open and work at living to honor God. Our defining moment decisions will be made according to God's Word and directed by His Spirit and His Spirit's work in all of us. I mean, it's tough enough to challenge people to pray. I wonder what would happen if I challenged everyone to dig into the Word every day. But listen, I am living proof. And I won't stand up here and share all my dirty laundry with you, okay? If you want to know, holler at me afterwards and you can take me to eat at Jason's or something and I'd be more than happy to share. All right? Listen, I'm living proof, man. Unless you're a prayer warrior and you dig into the Word of God and you do it in a way that you want to get to know Him and you're not just checking off the box, you're not going to get any closer to Him. Okay? He spits you out of His mouth. We've got to be serious about our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's time. It's time as individuals. It's time at the church. We face defining moment decisions constantly. How do you go about that? How do you get from point A to point B when you have to make a big decision? Do you Google it? You know, do you pick up the phone and call someone to ask them? Go to some self-help guru? What is it? Dig into the Word. Trust Him. Pray. Get some godly people around you. When those defining moment decisions come, you've got to be equipped. And the only way to be equipped is to dig into the Word and pray. And I know this sounds so simple, but I know it's so hard for some of us. Listen, we're going to close with this. I want to ask that question again. Where's my slide? No, that's not the question, actually. Where's your tent pitched? Where's your tent pitched? Are you on the outside looking in, ready to step over that threshold into sin? Are you willing to drop everything that you have and that you are and trust in the Lord? We're going to have a time of invitation. I'm going to pray. And listen, if you're here today and maybe you don't have a clue what I'm talking about because you don't know Jesus Christ. And Jason and I will be down here. We'd love to counsel with you and lead you in that. Maybe you're here today that you've been visiting our church for a little while, and today's the day that maybe you feel that you want to become a part of this congregation. Just come forward and we'll take care of that. Maybe there's something, maybe your tent is pitched in a way it's time to get clean. Maybe it's time to change. The altar's open for prayer. If you need the counsel, Jason and I will be down front. All right, stand. And I'm going to pray. And the altar will be open. Lord, we love you. Father, I thank you for this day. And Lord Jesus, I thank you for the opportunity, God, to have your word. And I thank you for the freedom that we all have to shout out prayers to you, God. Lord, but not only do we need to pray, we need to listen. And Father, I pray for this time right now. I pray that people are listening. Lord, I pray for those that may be struggling through some tough, defining moment decision sort of times right now in their life, God. Give them strength. Give them power in your holy name. And Lord, I thank you for this time once again. Bless this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me, and I'm desperate for you. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. And I'm desperate for And I'm lost without you. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. And your very word spoken to me. And this is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. And
praise God. A couple of things. You know, every Sunday morning when people come down, and sometimes it's you, I hope that my heart is that when you see folks come down, be praying for them. You know, I know it's kind of that awkward moment when people are having an encounter with God and you're just kind of like hanging out, you know. Be praying for them. You never know what God's doing in the heart of some of our people, so pray for them. And a challenge that I had before, if our deacons would come forward, we're going to take up an offering. But I want you to be thinking about this week. Where's your tent pitched? Okay, where's your tent pitched? And maybe you're good. All right. And if that's the case, that's awesome. But I guarantee you that you have people around you that don't have their tent pitched in very good places right now. Okay? You can be that godly accountability for them. Oh, and I'm through. Jonathan.
Is there sun coming up in my soul, Lord, in my soul? Is there sun?
Good morning, and thanks for joining us in worship. Here's what's happening at First. We have a great opportunity for the next 2 weeks for you to be able to bless foster children in the area. We will be collecting gently used duffel bags without tears or stains for the next 2 weeks. We will be giving these to foster children in our area. It sends a great message for these kids to know they are loved and wanted when they can use real bags instead of plastic sacks for their belongings. Bags can be turned into the Information Center on June 15th and 22nd. FBCOB is now on the YouVersion Bible app. This app is available on all mobile app stores for free.
To access our Sunday services, open the Bible app on your device, tap the three horizontal lines in the top left corner, and next tap Live and then tap Search for a live event. You should see today's event in the search results. Here, you can find the bulletin, read the scriptures and take notes during the sermon, watch announcement videos, give online, and even submit a prayer request for the staff.
If you need Wi-Fi to do this, we now have a guest network. Look for FBCOB Guest, and the password is 1STBCOB Guest. We hope this helps you connect better here at First Baptist. Throughout the summer, we will not be having regular Sunday night services. However, we will be having one special Sunday night event each month in June, July, and August. Also, on Wednesdays, we will be having a Wednesday night worship held in the Worship Center every Wednesday night. The first special Sunday night event is tonight at 6 o'clock in the upper room. We will have a VBS celebration. The kids from VBS will be sharing their program they have worked on all week. This event is for the whole family, so childcare will not be provided. We hope you can come celebrate with us tonight in the upper room. Serve the City is the youth mission project for this summer, and we need help from the whole church to pull it off. If you are interested in going to or helping serve at Serve the City in July, please sign up today in the Information Center. We are getting close to the registration deadline, so please don't hesitate to sign up while there is still time. Cost is only $85 per student. During the week, you can find everything going on in our church, including the weekly bulletin and online giving at fbcob.org. See you next week.
All right, well, just to recap, the part that was muted was, you probably saw that about church directory makeup pictures. If you have not taken a picture with your family or you as an individual, however that works for you, for our church directory, we have 2 days, Tuesday and Wednesday of this week, where you can do that. But you have to have an appointment, and I think there are still some appointment slots available, but you need to call the church office. Probably would be the easiest thing for you to do. If you're tech savvy, you can go to our website, I think, and still sign up that way. But either way, I know you can call the church office. So please do that. Look at your schedule, see if we can get you in, because we don't want to miss you on the directory. And then, of course, VBS tonight. I'll just say this, this wasn't in the video, but I think somebody's getting slimed. I think somebody else might be getting whipped creamed. I don't know what all is going to happen, but I do know it's going to be fun. And if nothing else, we want you to come and support what God is doing in the hearts and lives of our children, church. Amen. We need to do that. So come back tonight for that. Let me pray. Father, we love you and we praise you and thank you for what you're doing in our midst. God, I pray that you would help us all to, Father, to ask that question about where we are in our walk with you, Father. Are we on the outskirts or are we in the middle of what you have called us to do? Father, help us all to learn how to serve you better this week. In Jesus' name, amen.